continue to fight for self-determination. So we need your support.
On 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at KBOO.FM.
Connect with your favorite community radio station on social media.
Our Facebook page is facebook.com/KBOOMradio.
And follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/KBOO.
We also have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/KBOOradio.
We also provide content to the Free Music Archive,
an interactive library of high-quality legal audio downloads.
That's at freemusicarchive.org/curator/KBOO.
You can find all of this and more on the KBOO website, kboo.fm.
Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Art Talk Bus Stop, a monthly youth center podcast about how artists do their work and make a living. I'm Nicole Cabrera.
I'm Erica Thomas.
I'm Ayana Ross.
I'm Lucy Anderson.
And today we're joined with Adam Cerisi. So can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, I am a New York born artist, a multidisciplinary artist, and I've lived in Portland for between 14 and 15 years, somewhere around there. I'm a muralist, so that's been something that's a bigger focus of mine. I am a painter, studio artist, painter. I teach as well. That's more of like my job, I guess you would say. I also, you know, have I'm a musician, and I dabble with like photography and reading and writing, and I kind of love skateboarding more than anything else, and I do that as much as possible, and I spend a lot of time with my dog and two cats.
Well, I wanted to kind of kick off asking about your mural work, because I feel like we don't have a lot of people who've done big pieces like that. So can you tell us a little bit more about like the process of how that gets started, or just like how do you even begin to make a mural?
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting question, because on one hand it can be a pretty long process, and on other hand it could be something that goes up within a matter of hours. And it kind of really depends. I think there's two approaches to it in my mind. And one is just kind of the opportunity to get a big wall and make art on it. I mean, it can be as simple as that, spray paint or household paint, and just get the okay to paint a wall, or not the okay. I'm not gonna say whether I endorse that or not. But then there's a whole other side of things, which this is the realm that I found myself in the last, I'd say, decade, which is you're making art in the public sphere. And I think that with that comes a major responsibility of being inclusive, for instance. And you want to make sure that, for me personally, the work that you're making is representative of certain communities, especially like maybe the neighborhoods that they're going in. And so a lot of times the murals I do, there's, before I even start working on stuff, there can be some community outreach that happens. Sometimes it'll be a business that'll say, you know, one of the first experiences of a mural I did in Portland, And I think it shares some of this, encapsulates this whole experience. Where I live here in Portland, in Northeast Portland, there was a market up until recently. A new market went in its place, but it was called Koken Market. And I used to go there like every other day. At the time, I was at Portland State University studying undergrad for art. And I would always come off the bus right there at the bus stop, and I'd, you know, walk and get a beverage or whatever. And I would just have art with me. And the owner, Emmanuel, would always say, like, oh, when are you going to make me some art? And he's like, I want you to make art on the side of my building. And I thought he was kind of always messing around. And eventually he told me, I am serious, you know, when are you going to make me some art on the side of my building? And so I eventually realized he was serious, and we discussed what he would like. And he said, you know, I know that, so this is at the corner of MLK and Deakum. The mural's long gone now. It's become a bar, and they turned the wall into like outdoor seating and painted it black. I feel like I just quoted an old song. But anyway, he said, I know there's some history behind Deakum. Maybe you could incorporate that into the mural. And I think that was kind of like the beginning of thinking, well, it's probably important to include local histories into a mural. And so I found out that Deakum was named after this guy, Frank Deakum, who was from Germany, moved here. He had a lot of money. I suppose you would say he's kind of a capitalist, and he put a lot of money into banks, I believe, here, but also he had put a lot of money into like school systems and stuff. Now, I don't know exactly how that money was getting allocated, whether it was like a really good thing or what have you, but there was eventually this economic scare that had happened, and he lost a lot of money. And then I read this little tidbit that he had been so homesick and so depressed by the loss of his finances that he missed the songbirds from Germany. And so he imported all these songbirds here. And supposedly, I think some of those songbirds that are here, some of the songbirds that were brought here, like, still kind of exist. I think, you know, they've reproduced since then, I guess. I also heard that a bunch did, or read that a bunch didn't survive. But anyhow, this was all kind of fascinating to me, this German capitalist who moved here and tried to invest in Portland and did some good and also lost a lot. And he turned to nature to kind of bring him that sense of feeling at home. And so I made a mural that was just this caricature kind of depiction of him. And he was cut up into pieces, and it looked like he had been sewn back together. And it looked like it was the birds that were sewing them back together. Now, for like the anti-capitalist out there, it could look like the songbirds were tearing him apart. So I tried to keep it open-ended, that it's like, well, I'm making sure that all the anti-capitalists out here could be like, oh, okay, well, this is an interesting way to share the narrative. Or for those that really appreciated Frank Deakum, and I'm sure there's are things to appreciate from him, you know, it could share more of this story that, like, he was, things were falling apart due to like an economic depression, and you know, he was turning nature to like kind of help put him back together. But I thought it was a really interesting story. So anyway, after that was like one of the first murals I had done, and it was just through, you know, being social with people out in my community. And you know, the thing that's interesting is once one mural goes up, I mean, not like I want to perpetuate capitalism, but like it becomes an inadvertent advertisement, you know. You kind of, you're, you know, my name was on there. I think maybe I put my email address on there below my name, and the next thing I knew, I got a few emails from people saying like, "Hey, I really love that mural. Like, you want to get us one over here?" And then it just kind of kept going from there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really cool. Oh,
yeah.
I'm curious because you mentioned like using like spray paint and like other other items to make these murals. Like, what are some of the things that you use to make murals, and like what does it take, like, in terms mm-hmm. of supplies and stuff to create that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so spray paint is a big medium of choice for me. I mean, so you know, I grew up in New York in the 80s and 90s, and having grown up outside of the city, I visited frequently. And then once I graduated high school, I went there. But I was always spent a lot of time in New York City, and there's just graffiti everywhere, you know, and it was just, to me, the coolest thing. I just thought it was awesome. And so spray paint has always been, since I'm a kid, something that I was very interested in. And the beauty of spray paint is that it's really easy to wear. I mean, it's just one can, and it's amazing. I think one can, you can, you know, cover like over 40 square feet in a matter of minutes if you want. And so that's a pretty easy medium to work with. But it also can take some technique and skill, which just comes with experience and trial and error and stuff. But then there's just, you know, good old household paint, like, you know, house paint that you can get. You know, there's so many different paint stores around town, and rollers become really great, you know, like a large paintbrush, you know, and or large paintbrushes. And so I typically use a combination of those things. But I mean, you also sometimes you may need to use like a projector, for instance. I don't use them often, but sometimes you might need that to get your composition up on the wall before you start painting. And you can, you know, sketch it out with chalk, or just spray paint is always my favorite tool to just sketch, because you can move really quick. Sometimes you can use a grid. There's a couple different methods for a grid. But I mean, as far as like the actual materials go, it's house paint, acrylic paint, like acrylic latex paint, spray paint. But I'm a huge enthusiast of coming up with other things. You know, there's murals that are done with like living gardens, for instance. You know, it'd be like a wall with moss, for instance. We have one of those in Portland here. I remember being really inspired seeing years ago someone who was going throughout, gosh, I think it was in LA, and they were going through like tunnels, you know, the vehicles would pass through and the walls were just caked in, you know, soot from all the exhaust. And they went in with a power washer and they just power washed, removed all the filth, and it looked like artwork. But it was just, you know, they just took the soot off and you kind of saw the light gray of the wall, and had that as a viable mural. So, I mean, sky's the limit, but personally for me, I tend to stick with spray paint and house paint, and sometimes a little bit fancier acrylic, like artist quotations grade paint.
I wanted to give the students a chance to ask questions if they'd like to.
Yeah. Lucy, you had some good questions. Ayana, too, prepared if you... Do either of you want to jump in?
I guess, how did you begin to find your style? And, like, does it, like, stay the same across all your different mediums? Or is there a particular style that you stick to?
Yeah, it's a tough question. So I suffer from like ADD. I have my whole life, and sometimes like art is great as an outlet, but sometimes like when I use it as a means to express myself or represent myself, I'll say, oh, this feels really good. This feels really natural. And I'll be working with some kind of style. And then I all of a sudden find myself doing something else. I don't know when I departed from that one style to another one, because ADD. but there are several styles that I've kind of have been coming back to for a long time. And one, I think when it comes to murals, has been a little bit inspired by graffiti, actually. And it's just the simple, you know, when, for instance, like when you spray, let's say I was spray painting, you know, like a letter, for instance, you can use a fill color, you know, like fill in the color with, let's say I was doing an A, and then you would outline it. And it's a pretty simple process, you know? I mean, it's very similar to screen printing too. You'll like lay down what they'll call like a flat, and then you'll have like the details and outlines. So I've kind of used that formula for a long time. But at the same time, you know, I've been painting my entire life. I mean, I can remember like very early memories of playing with paint. You know, I'm very fortunate to have had a few people in my family, especially my dad's side of the family, who are artists and who gave me paint and stuff to work with. And so for a long time I thought, you know, oh, I want to learn how to paint realistically, you know. And so I got really good at understanding the human form and, you know, value and all that stuff. And I was able to, you know, paint realistically. And so I do that sometimes, but I sometimes don't really find like my style in there. I just feel like I'm trying to represent something realistically, but it's not stylistically what I'm looking for. So, I mean, I know this is like a very long response to your question, but I think it like really kind of becomes like, it's dependent on what I'm working on. Like I've made bodies of work which are like totally abstract. And I was working with like fire. Like I would just take a flame and put it up to a canvas and let the soot of the fire collect on like a white gessoed piece of wood, and I would just kind of like let that interaction of smoke collect on the as the fire hit the canvas, and it would just make these really beautiful forms. And I went hard with that for a couple of years, and I made like hundreds of paintings of that, but I haven't done one in years. And sometimes I like to really work with certain types of like iconography and work with making people, but not realistic, you know, having like a little bit of my own style with it. So it has, you know, like I said, it was kind of inspired by some of the work that I enjoy doing with spray paint. And then kind of like using certain signifiers within it to like create some sort of narrative. That I think that's something I come back to a lot. And I also like really enjoy like botanicals and plants and vessels that those things can be carried in. And so I mess around with those a lot too. And I would also say in recent years, you know, I've been teaching Pacific Northwest College of Art for a few years, and recently at Portland Public Schools, but at PNCA, I've been teaching a class for a couple of years now that's all in color theory, and which I really enjoy. And now I've been finding myself including that in my work a lot more. And so I feel like my work got a lot brighter and a lot more colorful. So I don't know if that would be like a stylistic choice, possibly, I guess. So that's something I've been finding. But honestly, I'm really not the kind of artist that's good with like having a definitive style and going with it. I get bored pretty easily. And I think it's not just that I get bored, it's that I feel like I find myself like having these different personalities that want to get expressed almost, you know. So then I then find an outlet with like, this style feels good for this personality that I can't shake right now, kind of thing.
Ayana and I were looking at your work together, and I also want to mention that the reason that you're on the show is because Ayana took a class from you. So this is also a moment, Ayana, if you feel like you want to share a little bit about that experience as a student. What did you do in that class, and what was the class about?
Like, each week there would be a host artist, or not a host.
A guest artist,
Guest artist. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And I don't know, for me it was really helpful to see all the different, like, styles and, like, I guess, as someone, you know, trying to find their own, and the conversations that we would have about the art, and like some of them were political, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Or like they were, you know, being activists through their artwork, which was really cool. And a combination of that and also the one time you sort of like assigned mm-hmm. the project, that's kind of what helped me make my stickers and like start that process of, I guess, trying to be an activist through my artwork, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Do you want to say what those stickers are? I know you've mentioned it on the show before, but just in case people didn't hear that episode.
Mm-hmm. I saw the movie The United States versus Billie Holiday, and I didn't even know. It was a really good movie. I don't want to say too much about it, but through that, I ended up learning about her song, Strange Fruit, and the United States did not, or I guess the government, didn't want her singing that song because it was about lynching. And so I've made these stickers, these, like, Strange Fruit as a reference to her song.
And then the assignment, you were saying the assignment was to put them some, to make an artwork and put it in the public?
Yeah, to get your art in the streets.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
There's definitely, like, a really good street art tradition with stickers.
So, so that class came out of a program that I've been working on for actually a couple of years now, like, in quietly been trying to put together this thing, which I've called street ed, as opposed to, like, academic education. Growing up, I did not have the greatest high school experience, to the point where I actually was completely kicked out. I ended up having to go to an alternative school. I almost didn't even graduate on time. And that kind of pushed me into the world of education. I kind of always felt back then, I want to be a teacher. I don't know when, but, like, someday I want to maybe try to provide an experience that, like, I didn't get at my school back in New York. And over the years, you know, being going to PSU and PNCA, great schools, but there's always tons of institutional issues. When I was at PSU, there was like a, I remember they were like so excited about a new football field coming in. And then I found out like a massive budget cut to the arts. And it like hurt, you know, you're like, I like took it personally. I was like, what happened? How? What? Football and it's not I'm not going to go into there, but so like over the years I started getting more and more disenchanted with education, same way I was younger, and I got to a certain point where I remember, okay, so there's a band I absolutely love called Fugazi. I've loved them since I'm young, very young. I feel like actually more of my teachers when I was a kid came from punk rock, like Fugazi or Bad Religion and stuff, than I came from my teachers, to be honest. And there's a lyric that always stuck with me in this one song of Fugazi's last album, which says academic or street education. And it just stuck with me. And I was like, you know, there's so much that we can learn from the streets, you know, and there's many different ways for us to think of the streets. But the way that I think about it is, it's the public sphere. It's not coddled behind institutionalized walls. You know, it's everyone's part of it. Even if you're in an institution, when you're walking down a street, you are no longer in an institution. You are in the streets. You are in the public. And I think there's so much to learn from the streets, not just like walking down the streets and what do the walls have to say. I mean, there's so many opportunities for communities to come together in the public sphere to intersect and to bring new things to us. And so I thought about creating this program called Street Ed, which like can utilize art to help further education, especially for like people like myself who just wasn't vibing with the contemporary rubric of high school educational systems. And, you know, so I thought it would be cool for us to like discuss as a class, like, what are the lines of legality for making art in the street? So, for instance, there's, like, tons of public utility. All of our tax dollars go to that, right? So, like, a telephone pole, for instance. And we see this all the time. A lost cat will be, you know, will put up an ad on the telephone pole, and no one goes up in arms about it. You know, the pole of a stop sign can get stickers on it. No one really goes up in arms about it. And I think if we slow down and take some time, like, we can start to really see, I mean, especially the last year with a lot of the sort of social unrest happening in the city. I feel like we started really learning a lot of what was happening in the city. It was really fascinating because we were all like kind of stuck indoors. Meanwhile, if you go out for a walk, there was like so much we could learn about like what's happening in the city right now, you know, politically, socioeconomically, culturally. So seeing all that kind of like gave me the momentum to be interested in saying this thing that I've been working on, this idea of creating a street ed program, I'm just going to go for it. And I started speaking with the Portland Street Art Alliance. And then not too much later, they let me know that Portland Public Schools reached out to them and said, you know, we're looking if y'all would be interested in teaching a class. And they're like, well, we don't have any experience as a teacher, but we know Adam, who does, which I've been teaching mural painting at PNCA for a few years. I had a class there that I still have a class there called Murals for the People. And it works with adults. And then over the summer, I work with youth over like a summer program. But so I got to bring it to PPS and put together this program with the school that, you know, we talk about like the history of murals. Like I talk about how, like where it's come from with like Mexican muralism, for instance. And we talk about how it overlaps with activism and how the streets kind of become the platform for us to really voice. I mean, we have the internet to do that as well, but like real action like happens in the streets too. It doesn't mean you have to go out and get arrested or something like that. It means that we can go out and get creative and how to inspire others, how to express ourselves. So that class was trying to figure out, and it's interesting, Ayana and vast number of other students had reached out to me. Like, I'm trying to figure out stylistically, like, what is my voice as an artist? What do I want to do? And you know, I think when we make our work in a studio, we're safe, you know? There's no one looking over you. when you bring that art out into streets, all of a sudden, everyone sees it. And I think there's a switch that can happen. All of a sudden, you start to realize that, the work... like you can pay attention to a little bit more. I don't know why this is. I feel like I just heard something in an OPB this morning, someone talking about like the best way they hear their voice is with an audience. Like they can practice singing all the time, but all of a sudden it really clicks when they're in front of an audience. And so a lot of artists can spend years and years trying to find an audience by getting into a gallery or maybe a cafe will bring their artwork there. But honestly, you can go outside your door and go put some artwork up in the street, and all of a sudden you now have a massive audience, you know? And so kind of thinking about how accessible that is and making that accessible, but also or hoping to make that accessibility clear to students, to artists, to younger artists. And then in doing that, to also think about, there's gonna be social responsibilities that we should think about, we should consider, you know? And part of that class is discussing that. Like, what are some of those responsibilities? What are the things that we want to share, you know? Like, I mean, Ayana's stickers are amazing because there's like, they're colorful. They take on like a very serious topic, as you had already mentioned. But then the actual imagery of it is, it's much more complex because it's like this fruit that's kind of melting, you know, right? Is that like a decent way to,
yeah.
And so, and it says strange fruit. And so like, obviously there's like the obvious, like, oh, okay, well, strange fruit, but it looks like it's melting. So does it have to do with like the Billie Holiday song and then what the whole song was about? And I think it makes it much more interesting. And I think it brings in a level that of like lightheartedness to it, which then can open up such a serious topic. And that's the kind of stuff that can stick with people, you know? Like, you can be walking and all of a sudden something can catch your eye and it can stick with you. And I love that. That's what I love about street art. That's kind of was like some of the backstory of the street ed program I've created. And, you know, we are continuing into the future with Portland Public Schools and outside of it as well. I still try to teach students everything from spray painting to just like what is some etiquette to consider with making work in the streets. I know some people will probably tell me I'm an old fool to talk about etiquette with making work in the street, you know, but like, for instance, in a week or two, a lot of the students that were in the class this last term, we are going to Ethos Music Center. And we're making a mural over there. There's about 10 of us or 11 of us, something around that. We're working with another local artist who I just like am in love with their work, Molly Mendoza. Her work is incredible. If y'all haven't seen it, I would encourage y'all to check out Molly Mendoza's work. And we're all going to collaborate together and make a, a beautiful mural for Ethos on the back of their wall. That's going to be, we can do everything we can to be inclusive. And like within that is going to be, you know, a series of community outreach sessions. I believe we're bringing in like Don't Shoot PDX, for instance, to share a little bit about the history of the Albina district. And how we can be inclusive in that manner, how we can include certain historical narratives, but at the same time, we want to envision futures for our youth and imagine diverse futures. So we're trying to put all that together as a crew. So that's part of the Street Ed program. It's not just like being in a classroom and talking about this stuff. It's like we're also going to go out to the streets and go hard in the paint, you know?
The best way to learn how to do anything.
Totally. Yeah.
Lucy, I think you were waiting also to ask a question.
Oh, yeah. My question is, so like since you've made art a part of your career, do you still take time to like make art for yourself that's not necessarily going to be seen by anybody, but like you just want to make it for fun?
Yeah, it's such a struggle. This is like honestly something I talk to my partner about at the end of the day frequently, and I want to have more time to make my own art. I get some time to doodle in my sketchbook a lot, but it never so frequently those doodles just stay as little doodles with pencil or pen. And then some notes at the bottom, like, if I ever get to this, I want to do this kind of coloration with this kind of paint, you know? But it's a really interesting question because I spent years trying to work myself up as a muralist, as a public a street artist. And most of the time I'm making work with, you know, sometimes I'll have like I said before, like a market that will say, hey, could you make us a mural? And I say to them, like, what can I do?